Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
I'm bringing kids from all over the country, opportunity and money. And your grade's decent?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, you'd be set. And there's lots of D3s that have grants that you don't have to pay back. So if you want to play, but if they're having some difficulty finding some names, I can get probably 3-4 dozen that I'm familiar with through the process of my son and the years of covering sports. So, yeah. Your parents want to do a shout-out? You did it during football, but you better do it during baseball.
Yeah, it's my mom. Love you, Mom.
Good call. You'll get a hot meal tonight. Girlfriend?
Nope, I don't do that.
My man. Okay. I'm just kidding, girls. Just a little light humor. All right, and pass it to... Are you cold? Well, I am, but I didn't want to look like a wimp. I was going to put my hood up. I got like 4 layers on. And a vest. I've gotten soft. And then I've got closed-toed shoes, long pants. I never did that.
Oh, it's sad.
Tough to get old. Your name, young man?
Tyler Sogsdale.
Hi, Tyler. How you doing?
Good.
What position do you play?
I play shortstop and I pitch.
One of your pitchers. Right or left?
Righty.
Right? So one of the guys, your go-to guys. So you enjoy pitching more or playing shortstop?
Pitching, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're in control.
Yeah.
I think, did I meet the catcher?
You did.
Yeah, the thick guy. It looks like he's about 35.
That's right.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
got his beard.
Yeah, yeah. The kid that looked like, yeah, he'd take you out to the woodshed. if you hit somebody, he's got your back.
Oh, definitely.
If anybody's charging the mom, they're not getting near you with that cat. No. I can tell you right now. I liked him. What was his name?
Evan Skinner.
Yeah. Evan looked like he could skin somebody. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so want to do a shout-out to your parents?
Yeah, I'll shout-out my mom and dad. My mom got a little mad last time. I shout-out on my dad. She's a little upset.
She'd be very upset.
I got to do extra to my mom. She knows I love her.
Yeah, well, way to make it up. Yeah. What are you thinking?
I don't know.
You start with mom,
thinking.
Dude.
I was a little nervous.
Pops doesn't get, emotionally upset.
Yeah, it's all the moms.
Yeah. And you might get lukewarm food tonight. Better keep it up. Yeah. One more shout-out to her. One more shout-out to mom.
Love you, Mom.
There you go. Yeah, the L word. Save that for Mom. You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, I do. She actually came. She's right over there.
I'm sorry, young lady. I'm a rude old man, but thanks for coming down and supporting. Well, y'all kicked your coverage here, champ. So, any aspirations after?
I definitely want to go play somewhere. I want to do engineering too. I'm looking into mechanical or like civil.
How do you keep up these kids in their IQ?
Hey, listen. To be honest with you, they're all really underselling themselves at this point. They're good in the classroom. They're amazing young men. They're very athletic and they have a lot to bring to the table. So.
Well, and of character, obviously.
Absolutely.
And all of them doing shout-outs to their parents. So I applaud any of you listening for these young men that you're raising, and I applaud you two for everything you're doing. Your favorite team, of course, Rays.
Cardinals.
I'm going to have the big one. I used to work for the Cubs organization. Get the hell out of here. Cardinals.
Yeah.
I think you told me that.
Yeah, last time I was here.
Yeah, you did. It was a family thing?
Yeah, my dad, he grew up watching them play spring training down here.
Well, then I can go with that.
Yeah.
Good job, Pops. Keeping it in the family, family tradition. My poor boys are Packer fans, Cubs, just because of my leadership or lack thereof. But, yeah, I forgot you were the Cardinal fan. Yeah. And if you walk out front, did you notice last time you guys were here that home plate that's in the cement.
Yeah, it has the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals on there.
Yeah
that's pretty
cool.
Have you ever had an opportunity to go to Busch Stadium?
No, I always want to, though.
You and your old man, when you get your diploma, you start making some jack. Take the old man on a bucket list.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, that's another one. And it's the newer stadium, but it's an iconic
stadium.
Right downtown. Mm-hmm. Cool. I hate to even walk in there as a Cubs fan, but
Wrigley Field's nice too.
You've been to Wrigley?
No, I wanted to go.
That's a bucket list.
Nice field.
Yeah, in fact, I was there just in December, in the winter, and I got moisty-eyed. Baseball wasn't even going on. My daughter lives there, and that's a great venue. You need to get to that. You need to get there too, Coach. All right, girlfriend's here. I guess we got you covered.
Yep, we did.
All right, my friend. Thanks for coming again. Good to see you. Well, Coach, I will have to say, I love the conversations with the other high schools, but my bogey kids are up there.
Amen.
You guys are doing a great job. How many kids on the team?
So we've got 13 at the moment that are working, and a couple that are still in winter sports that won't come out until probably mid-February when those sports end. So we're looking to have 15, 16 on the roster, which is a huge improvement, and really feel like the program has got new life to it. So,
well, because of you guys. All right, my man, get a hold of me. We'll talk about fundraisers down here at Ferg's. Mark and I discussed it, and appreciate you coming down.
All right, thank you, sir.
He's Mike Miller. He's the head baseball coach at the Boca Ciega Pirates. Brought their gang down, and as I said, it's kind of my adopted team. A little pressure. My girlfriend's a graduate of there, Brandy Winans, who typically is with me. By the way, Brandy, enjoy yourself. She big-timing me again, some event worldwide, and leaves me to fumble, stumble, and bumble. That's why I had to bring Ray Kennedy in. But I love these Boca Ciega kids, and I love talking to high school kids. We're going to bring some more teams. Berkeley Prep's going to be here in a few weeks. We'll talk about their success across the bay. And we're going to start talking wrestling. We're going to get Osceola wrestling team here. I didn't realize wrestling was that big a sport in the state of Florida because, you know, it's an Iowa sport. In fact, the Hawkeyes went down to Penn State last night, which was sad to see, and college wrestling. But you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ray Kennedy joins us, and he always brings an incredible audience.
You know what though, Mike? That listening to young athletes there from Boca Ciega for the Pirates.
You talk about, okay, the Bucks got knocked out of the playoffs last weekend by the Los Angeles Rams, and you know a report from Jason Luckenfair last night from CBS Sports that maybe an announcement of a retirement is imminent in the next 2 days. But listening to and watching these young guys, these incredible young athletes, it's where it all starts.
Student athletes.
And I've been running on this too, the whole thing with the NCAA and name, image, and likeness and stuff like that. This is where it's at its truest, and this is where we all got our first start. Listening to these young guys today, as bad as I could have been down last Sunday, it gives me cause for hope because we've got sports year-round here in Tampa Bay, and we got some of the best, most phenomenal young guys. And you get
Champa Bay, brother. That's why.
Champa Bay. From the peewees to the pros, right?
Yep. Peewees, the preps, the pros. Positive perspective, as I like to say. And I'm going to announce our affiliates. Of course, right now we are on RadioSt.Pete.com, and then we are on 106.1 FM. If you're up in Clearwater and north of St. Pete, that entire area, 106.1 FM comes in very clear in that area. Otherwise, flip over to 1340 AM, and then you've got 1350 AM, Dade City, and 102.4 FM. They carry all the Lightning games, by the way, as does 1400 AM and 104.2. And that's the Tantalk family stations. And I want to thank Big Ed up there on the controls, Joe Bordeaux for Radio St. Pete. And do you notice this new toy in front of me?
Love it.
Well, I don't know if I love it.
Well, it's going to take some getting used to. You already said you don't read instructions, so.
Well, you know what?
Who does?
YouTube tutorial.
Yeah.
Guy walked me through this thing. I'm stunned. My buddy Kenny here, he still doesn't believe that I got it even turned on.
Now, is this the one DJ Mad Mac was pushing to you?
He didn't push it to me. He suggested.
Suggested it.
He's my consultant.
He's already always the sound guy.
Oh, yeah. And there goes the bogey. Thanks, guys. The bogey kid's taking off, and that was kind of annoying. But anyway, so this new toy, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And what I'm thinking, as much as you have, you know, with Cupa Ray and your mobile, we're going to have you calling in for some cool events this year. What do you think of that?
I'll tell you what, Mike. I would love it because, you know, I'm a local guy. I love being down here. Half of the joy of it for me, like a Friday night when I came down here and covered that, if you call. I know I came in and said to you, oh, did you hear about the news? And you're like, did you talk about your post? And I said, yeah. And he's a credible news source, you know, someone who's he's made breaks before. And he reports that, you know, Tom Brady is 2 days away or imminent retirement announcement. Of course, that's been a big question since the Bucks lost last weekend to the Los Angeles Rams. So.
You almost said St. Louis Rams. That's what I do.
They're back and forth and back. They're going to be in St. Louis in 10 years. But why not?
That sounds
though?
Like St. a Louis, Mike Rickard error.
St. Louis should not have lost them. I mean, let's be honest. The Cardinal fans were showing up in force there in St. Louis, but L.A. was a bigger market and more coin.
Well, and I had been in that facility a couple times. I went down to see Warner play a couple times from Des Moines. It's not that long a drive. And you're dead right. I mean, they supported.
Yeah.
But St. Louis is certainly not L.A., brother.
No, L.A.'s got a bigger market, bit more revenue. They build a $5 billion Hollywood Park now, and they share it with the Chargers. And Stan Kroenke, the owner of the – of course, if it was Georgia Frontier back in the day, they'd probably still be in St. Louis.
Oh, I forgot about her. She was a piece of work.
She was a son of a gun, yeah.
She was a piece of work. That's a wife that inherits a franchise after a husband passes, and she should have passed it on and got the jack and got the – out, you know
yes.
what I'm saying?
But she was just like you see now with the who's the name? Not Loomis, the GM in St. Louis, but the owner. Anyway, but she's the wife. I'm trying to remember the former owner. Of course, now with Sean Payton, you know, leaving the Saints, and she's looking for a new coach, and they're taking her time doing it. And I can't remember the name for the life of me. But
well, he's Ray Kennedy, and of course, Bucks Report, cup of Ray. How do people find you? And then we'll dive into this NFL conversation.
You know, just on Bucks Report, did a cup of Ray last night down here when I got that news. Had over 3,000 views, which was great because we rely on people sharing it. That's how we get the news out there and try to get them covered, just like we do here on Sports St. Petersburg Sports Connection. And so definitely share. And if you find something you like in here or anything makes you laugh or you enjoy it, reach out and let someone else do it because they'll probably find it too. And that's what this is really all about.
Well, you know what? And I did say this, and it's what we do. And we're going to hear about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I hope they both move quickly because otherwise every time we turn on one of these channels, right, whether it's CBS Sports or, you know, I live in a closet down on the beach basically, and I've got two 70-inch screens, and one's on ESPN, the other one's on CBS Sports.
Right.
And it's funny how the next segment will be on CBS,
yes,
Rodgers. The one on ESPN will be
Brady. Yeah, back and forth.
And it's going to continue that way. All right, we'll talk about the emotion of what took place down here, but let's talk about tomorrow's games, the matchups. Right now it's Chiefs, 7.5-point favorites over the Cincinnati Bengals. In Arrowhead, I've been there many, many times. The decibel level in there will be off the charts.
Yes.
They've set the record many times between them and Seattle for outdoor stadium.
Right.
And the weather is not going to be an issue. I certainly think the 7.5-point favorite is easily attainable. I'd love to see Joe Burrow. That story, I've told you my history,
yes,
there in the Cincinnati Bengals. But he was sacked nine times. And it's,
yeah,
amazing that they won in Tennessee. Sacked nine times. They could sack him nine times tomorrow or more.
Yeah.
And I just think that's an easy cover there. But I don't know whether to go over or under. Taking a look at that because I don't see the production out of that Cincinnati Bengal offense if Joe's on his back a lot.
Yeah, there's only so much a kid can do. And, you know, of course, when he took LSU to the national championship, wins the Heisman, comes out number one overall, what he's done and meant there. But, of course, we saw the meme going into this season was, you know, with the draft, the Bengals having such a high draft pick, and do you take Jamar Chase and, you know, reunite the receiver and a quarterback from LSU, or do you go and get offensive line? Well, they took Jamar Chase, and he's shown this year that's been an incredible pick for them. He's showing good production, but the offensive line. It seems to be where the romance ends for this. The Bengals, the first time winning the division in 7 years, and they go out to Arrowhead. But they just beat the Bengals in the last week of the season at Arrowhead. So, I mean, they've done it when it really mattered. But this is different. This is playoff football, and those screaming Kansas City fans are going to make a lot of noise. And you got to see if the second-year quarterback and Joe Burrow is going to get shook or not.
Well, you know, he doesn't get shook. That's one thing that impresses me about this youngster. And he's just matter of fact when he's talking to the media, it's amazing. He says, "Well, we're going to be here,
yes,
consistently. This isn't a fluke.
Right?
I'm a winner, and that's just the reality of it."
Well, I got the better story for you. The rookie kicker, Evan McPherson, former Gator. From Alabama, he took over the eighth grade. He was 98 pounds. He goes out to the high school football team. His brother had just gotten a full scholarship to Louisiana Tech, and he comes up and he's eighth grade. He goes with the head coach of football, and he goes, "I want to kick this year." And the coach goes, "Well, you know, seventh and eighth grade teams don't have kickers." He goes, "Yeah, I know." So the coach goes, "Oh, you want me to put you on a varsity squad?" He said, "Well, yes, I do." Gave him a 2-week tryout. 98 pounds, eighth grader makes the varsity squad for FAPE JV in football, and of course, as
in
he
the eighth grade.
And as he graduates and goes to UF, his younger brother takes over the kicking duties now, who's getting ready to go to a full ride to Auburn. But the thing I like about this kid is last week.
Where are you from?
Alabama, Northeast Alabama, but he went to the University of Florida. His older brother went to Louisiana Tech.
I bet you Nick didn't like that story.
I'll tell you what, here's the best part. I was telling the girls over here that before he went out last week against those Titans, gets that last-second field goal, his fourth walk-off of the season for a rookie is incredible. He's walking by the backup Allen, backup quarterback Brandon Allen, and Joe Burrow gets stopped. It's fourth down. Burrow's walking to the sideline. The young McPherson gives a practice kick as he's walking by, and as he's walking by Brandon Allen, he says to nobody in particular, "Well, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship game." He walks out and he nails a 52-yard field goal. This kid's got ice in his veins.
That's Joe Namath call.
Well, so you wonder if the Bengals are even going to keep it somewhere in a neighborhood of a contest tomorrow. You got to imagine, even just for poetry reasons, it's got to be a special teams game for the Bengals.
Well, that's a superb story.
I love this kid.
Yeah, you did a little research there, my friend.
Nah.
I just see that game from an over and under perspective. I think the Chiefs offense, you saw that back and forth Bills Chiefs game.
Yes.
Unbelievable. You wondered if there was a defensive coordinator anywhere during that period.
Which is why Dennis Allen's not getting any calls, because it's like, even though they get phenomenal. Well, not Dennis Allen, he's with the Saints. But no, I tell you what, and that's why, you know, the Chiefs in the middle of the season, the Chiefs look like a much beatable team. But right now they look like they're that team that's been in the AFC game the last three seasons, and they won Super Bowl in 2019, and they want to get back there. So, you know, they look like they're ready to do it.
Well, my friends over here are all Chiefs fans, and you know, we talk about what took place in the fourth quarter between the Bucks and the Rams, and we watched it, you know, with bated breath and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Agony.
But look at the emotions that they went through.
Yes.
Watching their beloved Chiefs or Bills, if you're a fan.
Yes.
You think you had it won, and I saw a graphic. How many times did the league change?
Like five times in the last. And here's the thing. I've heard people say the best playoff game they've ever seen. And I would tend to say I think you could probably say that. I mean, and there's been some doozies over the years.
I heard that, and I could agree with it. However.
However.
There was no defense played.
Well,
it was flag football. Like, what the hell? Two-hand touch.
Yes.
And guys were wide open. They shouldn't have been wide open. That's what floored me. But exhaustion takes a big factor as well.
But they're two incredible offenses. I mean, the Bills have a up-and-coming. That's why Brian Daboll gets that job. He gets hired yesterday. Gets that job. And where did Daboll get hired again? My goodness, I didn't do that research there, Mike. But
Giants?
The Giants hire Daboll, right? Yep. The offensive coordinator from Buffalo. And, of course, you know, Eric Bieniemy, who knows what's going on with him, is the OC.
I love that
Kansas.
Guy.
I love
Colorado
him.
Grad. He never. Yes. You know what? He's the Rodney Dangerfield of assistants. He just doesn't get any respect. And I'll tell you what, not to make this an issue of color, but it's going to be highlighted quite a bit.
Yes.
That Eric Bieniemy is not getting a fair opportunity.
Yes.
Unless, I was thinking about today as I was driving here and listening, Eric Bieniemy, I would hope that Andy Reid's had conversations that I got a year or two left. Just stay put.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the man that we hand, you know, we hand over the clipboard to.
And I like what you're saying there.
I hope that's the case.
Well, and working it back to the whole the amount of coaches and the fact that we have a Rooney Rule and a Rooney Rule and the fact that we talk about coaches getting interviews like a Byron Leftwich, who I don't understand how I can understand Byron, but Todd Bowles, I don't know how he got to 2020 and not got an interview or get a job hired. But now you're starting to see more minority hirings in the front offices with general management and upper positions with teams. Which is greater, because I think one of the problems you always had with trying to get minorities on the other side of the table, because Lord knows they know the game and they're smarter than that, and they can take it out and they can coach start to finish. And I had some great coaches in high school, but the problem was is that you always talked about the people were looking across the table looking for someone they were comfortable with, and a lot of these owners, Caucasian owners, or they didn't have them experience with these people or with these young coaches, and they didn't realize the fact of the matter is they were passing up some really good talent. So you're starting to see that. You're not seeing yet. It's not, the pendulum hasn't moved enough yet, but you're starting to see it go in the right direction.
Well, and I certainly hope so. So, and there's still six openings out there. I was going to point out, I pick this up every day, New York Post.
Yes.
Not from a political perspective. best sports page in America.
It still is. And I like it because it doesn't, if it, you call it political, it seems to walk the middle line. It's like it can be funny on either side. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, and that's how I, the reason I picked that up. But I love the information in there. But and I'm a Todd Bowles guy. I think he's done a superb job.
Love Todd Bowles.
But one of the writers who was on the Jets beat for 4 years said, I don't know why everybody's so high on Todd Bowles because, well, first of all, it's the Jets organization. It's not Todd Bowles.
Right.
They said he was inconsistent in decision making. He's inconsistent in a lot of direction that the team was going, and they watched that for 4 years. So that Jets 4 years on his resume is kind of a flag, unfortunately.
You know, the thing is that
I would hope not.
No, I would. You see the aggressive defense the guy can run. You understand his defensive philosophies and the reason why that can be so successful.
Or unsuccessful as last Sunday.
It was unsuccessful. I can't argue with that.
You can't argue with
not
that.
Not with that blitz.
Cooper Kupp
get wide open.
Who do you think they're going to? The Eastern Washington phenom.
That was the worst. And the thing is that, you know, and they were worried about him picking him apart underneath, but you gave it to him all in one chunk. That's the part that hurt the most.
I said in the opening of the show, I don't know if you heard me, but the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
That was agony.
I was standing right over here with Mark Ferguson, his son Jake, and his wife. And it was a family affair. And then a circle of close friends.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a passionate Bucks fan. I want them to be successful for financial reasons on my selfish part. And but I'm still emotionally tied to those stinking, choking Packers.
Yes.
But I'm watching Jake, and they're hugging each other, and they're high-fiving. There's 27 seconds left.
We're going
left.
Overtime.
It's yeah, well, I'm sure you're going through the same highs and lows. And I watched playoff Lenny go around just walk in, and I'm thinking, we're going into overtime,
here
and they got the mighty mole.
Who's the guy in overtime? It's Tom Brady, right?
Exactly.
He's the guy.
This is a done deal.
Yes.
And then I think, wow, the first pass to Kupp, I thought, well, they still got some work to do.
They got a couple.
This
of
is
times.
Not going to happen again. And then, God.
One chunk. You're just hoping for a bad snap at that point. You're hoping for a missed kick. And, of course, who's their kicker?
The guy you guys got rid of.
Matt Gay, former Buccaneer kicker.
The Bucs kicked him to the curb.
Insult. You talk about agony of defeat. Agony of those feet as he makes that kick and they win that game. But, you know, they made the mistakes to let the Bucs get back in there. Let's be honest. At the end of the day, the Bucs really didn't belong back in that game. We were happy they were, but they had a bad fumble. They had a bad sack. They were doing some real stupid things, which is why I think the Niners are going to be your upset team of this weekend, but we can get to that in a minute.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you want to.
I don't want to rush.
I know
ahead.
You just want to twist that knife a little bit more, so I can think about that Saturday night.
Oh, it was
sitting
so
at tough. I was sitting at home by myself, tears down my cheeks.
God bless.
No, I didn't get that emotional, but I just wanted to throw up.
Is
but
it
anyway,
something to do with the fact that Matt LaFleur.
Well, great we'll talk
coach.
About that in a second.
Okay.
So anyway, I watched the entire Ferguson family joyous. I watched Mark last year, and I don't care if he hears this. When they were going to the Super Bowl, I was standing next to him, and I looked, and he had moisture in his eyes.
Yes.
And he hugged me, and he goes, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which is the last thing that people thought before the start of the year. I know Brady, but they did, you know, they came in as a wild card, and no one thought, you know, they're not going to go through Lambeau. And so I saw that emotion, and then I was down here when we had the big Super Bowl event, and they won, and this the joy that everybody had.
Yes.
I love seeing that for Tampa Bay, where I'm immersed now. And I'm watching their family hug, and then...
But you were still talking about that championship game where the Packers gave up the big pass. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you want to know who the defensive back was? Kevin King from Iowa.
What does he do letting Scotty Miller get back of him like that?
Kevin King,
my God. They said he was looking in the backfield. Looking at what? Look at Tom looking for Giselle to say hi?
My son Benny texts me from, I can't even tell you on the air, from Colorado. Kevin King, I mean, he just went off. And then we kept him and gave him a raise.
Well, see, and here's the thing I have, the problem I have. And if I can work with Tom Brady, because I know I'm all over the place, and you are so structured, Mike, and I love it. The fact that we talk about Tom Brady is what Mike looking for of CBS Sports says that there's an announcement is imminent. We play the Packers next season. We play the Chiefs. We play the Niners.
Season, yeah.
Yes. And from those reasons alone, I don't know how a cat like Tom Brady, the competitor that he is, couldn't look at this realizing that the Glaziers and the Lights are, and Jason Light's going to do everything within their power, even if it means mortgaging the next couple of years cap-wise, to surround him with the best team. And that may include some free agents this year, not just the 23 that were in the house. And it makes me realize if this is true, if there is some truth to this, if Tom is really considering doing it, he's earned it. The guy's got 7 rings. Can't take anything away from him. But it has to be because he wants to spend time with the family. Jack, his oldest, is going into high school. And as we're talking about these high school sports with these incredible guys from Bogey, some fathers, we don't want to miss that. Those are moments we don't get back, seeing our son his first start, maybe his first time on the mound, maybe his first time taking the green on his Friday night. And so from that standpoint alone, I understand it. But, man, from a competitive standpoint with next year's schedule, I don't know how he does it.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I wimped out today and moved us inside. I don't know why. But
you're good in here, though.
Yeah, this is nice.
Well, everybody can hear it. You see how much reaction we get from the crowd that was in
here? Yeah, they're over here booing.
Well, no.
Oh, there's the loyal fans. There's the loyal fans. They finally showed up. Anyway, so we're inside, and come on down to Ferg's. There's plenty of warm spaces here. 94 televisions, big college basketball weekend, SEC against Big 12. As I mentioned, a couple of marquee games. We'll go over those. Let's see, the one that I'm really impressed with. Well, Michigan State, Michigan, that's always an interest tape, but that's Big Ten. Iowa State, Missouri, make these people happy. The big game, as I mentioned, the mecca of college basketball, as far as people are concerned, is Phog Allen, and that is in Lawrence, Kansas. Been there many times, just a great college setting. James Naismith started the game of basketball, and you got Naismith Hall. I mean, rich in tradition, and the two winningest programs in the history of collegiate basketball do battle. In fact, College Game Day was there. First time they've had College Game Day in 700-plus days. They did not do College Game Day like they did in NCAA football. They're outdoors. Right. So Jay Billis and the gang were down there, and it's electric in the morning, and that's a late game. And so that's Kansas and Kentucky. Come on down and watch that. Your Florida Gators take on Oklahoma State. Baylor, Alabama, be a great game. Alabama ranked number 4. People don't realize Alabama is a basketball program as well, folks. And Florida State, Vatech. Leonard Hamilton has it going on, as he has for about 19 years. I keep telling all the Florida State faithful, tell Ferg, you're not a football school anymore, man.
Well, let me tell you,
that was basketball.
Of all the things about coming into the pandemic, losing March Madness in 2020 was huge.
Oh, my God.
It was huge. We felt that, right? Because it's so ingrained in our culture.
It was a kick to the gut.
Because that was literally the first thing that got canceled. That was like the next thing on a docket. And
then you knew this thing was serious.
You did. And the thing that got me, though, is that I really think that Florida State had a team that was ready to go to the Elite Eight, or maybe even the Final Four, or maybe the championship.
They sent two guys in first round to the NBA on that team.
And they still have a team. That's why that matchup is a good matchup to watch. But, man, they're the one team, I think, of all the teams that lost out with COVID or lost out in the pandemic. Florida State Seminoles, you just don't get those chances back sometimes.
I love Leonard Hamilton because kids still gravitate to his program. Both those guys that made it to the NBA off that team were not designated as starters. Did you know that?
Yes.
The sixth and eighth man, because he rotates everybody.
Yes.
And you're going to get as many minutes, but you're not designated as a starter. So a lot of kids, you know, their ego, I'm not starting. You're getting your minutes. And that was perfect for an example for Leonard to say, it doesn't matter. Look at those two guys both cashed in.
Yes.
6 and 8
to set the example. And here's the thing. We go back to, you mentioned Naismith. I'll talk about, you know, I was just talking to a friend this week that he hasn't watched, him and his son, he's got a 12-year-old son, he's into sports, and they haven't watched Hoosiers yet. And I told him, I said, I'm going to slap you. But I said, do me a favor this weekend. It's cold. You're going to be wrapped up on Sunday. Watch Hoosiers and understand.
One of the greatest.
Can't watch it without, I mean, it's going to run tears down my face every time. And but
true story.
True story. And go ahead, tell us.
Well, the thing that I love about it is Hickory would be like, in the state of Iowa, we have A is the smallest school, well, 8 player in football. So that'd be like an A school playing a 4A. They're playing South Bend and a powerhouse. So in those days, the little schools played the big schools. Larry Bird, you know, he was shooting at a, in French Lick. Indiana, he's shooting into a peach basket, basically.
Yes.
And that's the rich tradition that is Indiana basketball.
And that's why I pose that with a lot of these coaches, like a John Calipari or whatever, when you got these one-and-done programs where they're bringing in superstars that actually have contracts coming into college, like, I got to get so many minutes, I got to get paid, I want to get my paper.
Yeah, NIL, name, image, and likeness.
Name, image, and likeness, which is, let's be honest, I hate to say this, but I'm hoping 10 years from now I'm wrong, but this is just going to ruin college sports. College sports are going to get great. We're always going to have these most phenomenal, gifted, talented school athletes. But with name, image, and likeness and legalized gambling, they are really trying hard at the college level to try to remove the student from the athlete, the student-athlete role. You're starting to wonder, that line has become so blurred.
They have, and I respect Kirk Herbstreit and his opinion on anything. And Kirk Herbstreit basically said, when this all went down, he said, we're creating a monster that we can't recover from.
Yeah.
And for the fan base, whether it's an Iowa State, whether it's Central Florida, you know, the schools that aren't considered the big five power, even though they're a power conference in the Big 12, but those schools, even the Iowas, can't compete at the Georgia and LSU and Alabama level with enormous war chest, if you will.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me give you a pause for cause, though, because as I start to say how the Armageddon's going to happen, and I do believe there's going to come a time of reckoning, there's also these deals like you saw with Deion Sanders, coach at an historically black college
Jackson
State, signs a five-chip athlete, one of the top athlete recruits in the world.
And stole him from his alma mater, Florida State.
Stole him from Florida State. And you see some of these younger, these other schools that are, for various reasons, are going to be able to get some players, to get some run, to get some sponsorship, and you're going to get a team like a Nike or whatever, and they're going to say, look, we like what you're doing here. We like what you're doing with this team. So those, there's our schools, there are, but they're few and far between, the ones, because your Alabamas, your Georgias, your big-time college programs that just, you know, hey, if I'm a starter at Alabama, I can sign a $1 million deal with anybody. That's where I start to say that it's going to start to get to be a large gray area, and that's taken away from the true love of the what's the word I'm looking for? Because you're not paid.
The collegiate passion that you have to represent your university,
yes,
maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. One little snippet, and then we'll go back to the NFL. One of the things that bothered me about this, and even this portal BS, you know, you've got the starting quarterback for Oklahoma, arguably the leader in the clubhouse to win the Heisman,
yes,
in 2022, okay? He's in the transfer portal because his coach is at USC, and he's sitting back and examining his options. That's,
yes,
ludicrous, man.
Every year, at the end of every season, forget the top 15, 20, 50 students in the portal that they've already got a place to land before they get there. Let's talk about the student athletes that were given a scholarship to get to college, to get that paper. And that paper, I'm not talking about that money, I'm talking about that diploma.
That doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't, because now you got so many kids that are being told by so many people, possibly agents or people, or even maybe legalized gambling, you know, associations, you should chase your dream. You got a chance to keep moving up. And they keep moving up, but they get to a level, and God forbid they have an injury, or they get to a bad situation, or they don't have the success. They don't have any, they have nothing to fall back
on. Throw them on the old wood pile, and they're done.
So, again, that's why I say you're starting to take the term student-athlete, and you're putting a large separation in there. They'll always be together in some respect, but you're starting to really pull those two apart, and it's,
yeah,
taken away from these young kids' experience.
Well, I'm a lot older than you, but I feel like an old dinosaur talking about it. I love rich in tradition.
Yes.
And rich in tradition and commitment to program, that's going the way of the dodo bird. All right, let's go back. So we've already broke down the Chiefs and the Bengals. We're both in agreement at 7.5-point favorites. Chiefs, lay your money down there.
Yes.
I still am a little bit hesitant on the over and under, 54.5. I do not think the Bengals will put that many up. And the Chiefs, though, could run away with it. You know, you could see a 40, like we saw in the first round of
right.
Super Wild Card, you could see a 47-15.
Well, the only way you bet the under is if you think Cincinnati's going to get it, because the only way Cincinnati's going to get it is if they slow the scoring down, and again, it goes back to special teams, and they're able to keep that score low. But if you've got Kansas City winning, and I think that 7.5, Kansas City's definitely got to be a run, then you got to go over, because, like you said, Kansas City may score 35-45 themselves, and I think that the Bengals can at least score a couple of touchdowns, but it could be close.
Yeah, that's one I want to touch. Okay, now let's go out west to SoFi, of course, home of the 56th Super Bowl, and it could be amazing back-to-back years where the NFC representative gets to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Only the Bucks could hold record for 1 year. Are you kidding me? Come on. You're going to already do it the next season.
You said that you could see the, now the 49ers have had their number, six consecutive wins over the Rams.
Yes.
And what the Niners did in Lambeau, I think the Packers did to themselves, is how I look at it.
Packers did it themselves last season with the Bucs.
Exactly.
Now, the Bucs had a stacked and loaded team in Tom Brady, so they did win that game. But, you know, you don't give up that halftime, that touchdown before halftime with 3 seconds on the board. Yeah, the Packers. But that's what I was going to ask you about, Matt LaFleur. Seems like his teams, as smart as he runs them, as good as a coach as he is, they're a bit too cerebral. They seem to lack the ability to just start really locking it down. And they get a lead, or they got Tom Brady, and you got the defense rolling. And they want to call him a team of no names. But sometimes it seems like, emotionally speaking, those Packers don't show up 2 years in a row now.
Well, they don't show any emotion.
Right.
And I think that starts with their leader. He's kind of an emotionless type guy, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But you look at what the Niners did, I mean, smash mouth. Their defense is solid. Their running game is solid.
Yes.
Jimmy G, as unimpressive as his statistics look, Jimmy G has a great record in playoff games.
Look at the teams in the Super Bowl the last 4 years.
And that's Shanahan putting him in the right position, though, to not make the errors.
Yes.
He threw about a half a dozen passes that he shouldn't have thrown up in Lambeau, that if you're a Niners fan, you're like, what are you doing? And they just dodged a bullet.
Yes.
Half a dozen times. They're not going to be able to do that against the Rams.
No.
But they are a tough team, man, as far as just mentally. Up in that cold, that crazy fan base, smash mouth. They do the same thing at SoFi.
Yes.
They're not concerned about where they're playing at.
It's the way John Lynch built them. And I mean, when I say built it,
he's a tough dude, man.
He's a tough guy. And so when he was, you know, he goes in there, some say he's a yes man for Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was the coach there before John Lynch was hired as a general manager. But it seems
who cares?
Like this team seems like they've taken over his type of a personality, a smash mouth. Old school, make them, you know, punch them in the mouth, get some blood drawing out of a lip like Tom Brady did last week. But we won't go there with the illegal hit with the top of the crown on Von Miller. But I don't want to be red but backsided about that. But that's the kind of team your 49ers are. So, but, you know, it's SoFi, and there's going to be a lot of screaming fans there tomorrow. Hopefully more Rams fans than Niners.
Well, no, I just saw a report this morning that the Niners fans have actually bought up almost half the available tickets.
Money talks. And, I mean,
there's a lot of money up north.
It's a little – here's the thing. That's just – if that's the case, man, this is going to be a thing. We've already knew that it was starting to be there was no such thing anymore, or basically more road teams were winning than home teams, and it's almost at the very tipping point as far as equal. But you got stuff like this one. It's the Niners fans. They've been starving. The Rams were just in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. The Niners fans haven't been there in a cup of coffee since Steve Young was quarterback. So you're going to
No. They were there with
Garoppolo. No, I'm sorry. You're right, man.
Well, Garoppolo and what's his name? I don't even like to bring his name up.
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, you don't like the
Niners have been there, man.
Yeah, no, they were just there, and that's why it's not such a surprise to see them as one of the two teams that's in this NFC championship.
Well, that's a rich in tradition organization, the Niners. So Rams are 3.5-point favorites. The way that the Rams offense is clicking on all cylinders, they've got a two-headed monster in the backfield from a running perspective. Their wide receivers are, Pro Bowl material. OBJ, I'm not a big fan of his, but with what their coach on the field, Cooper Kupp, essentially, with what Cooper Kupp does, I don't know if you looked at his background, his grandfather was in the NFL, his old man, you know, and they weren't.
And you know his story. Yeah. He was brought in at the Manning Academy down there in New Orleans because his dad had a tie-in, like you said.
And NFL.
Got him in there. He's basically a rookie. He's in college, sophomore in college, and he goes to the Manning Academy, and Peyton Manning specifically requests this college receiver to throw to because he's in his Peyton. And he balled out all day with Peyton Manning, and it was at that point that the GM of the Rams looked at this kid and went, "Who is this kid?" And they're like, "Oh, this is so and so.
Eastern Washington. Nobody knew who he was.
Nobody knew who he was." And that's why the Rams were able to steal him in the draft, because he didn't show up. He didn't have an incredibly fast pro day, but they knew that he made every break and ran routes with the precision of a sharp knife, and they end up getting a steal in him. And he probably should have been up for one of the top three, but just behind
MVP.
Brady and Aaron with MVP.
Well, if you take a look at him, he is bigger than you think and stronger.
Yes.
A lot of people think he's just a small old white guy out there that runs precise routes and gets open because of his football mentality.
Right.
After the catch, he gets a lot of yards that people don't realize.
Yeah, and he reminds me. I'm not sure. I'd have to look and see what their physical statures are, but I've always thought of Cooper Kupp reminding me like a Mike Evans, but out of a slot receiver position, whereas Mike more runs of an outside position, because Cooper Kupp has got that size and he's got that length and he runs such precise routes. Such a phenomenal receiver. But, you know, you said 3.5 points on this game. The home team's supposed to get 3 points automatic, right? So, basically, Vegas is setting a line.
It's a push.
Trying to push it. It should almost be a push. And so, really, it comes down to, you know, do you think it's the Smash Mouth Niners that show up with half the stadium full of their fans and own the place, or the Rams fans gonna or the Rams gonna get Von Miller and finally get Aaron Donald to the Super Bowl, because that seems to be their rally cry this week?
Well, and then the over and under is 45.5 points, and I think that's because of the question marks of the Niners offense,
right?
And how solid the Rams defense is, and as you just mentioned, two guys, Donald and.
Von Miller
coming over from Denver. Now Denver's going to wish they had him if they can pull Rodgers into
not only
camp.
That, well, the Niners only had him for it was a trade. I'm not sure if these, but I tell you what, if the Rams.
It's a 1 year deal, I think.
If the Rams don't win it all this year, they've given up their first round picks for the next 72 years. They've traded the future for this. This, unlike the Buccaneers, if a Tom Brady is retiring and he does walk away, we haven't lost any of our first round draft picks. We didn't trade or sell the future with a cap heck because we're going for a run at it. We had the team ready. Tom came here. We had a couple of great years. Hopefully we could do it one more year. But man, the Rams, they have no first round draft picks till 2025, I think. So they have to win this Super Bowl.
They sold their soul for a run. Well, and the way things worked out, the Super Bowl actually was supposed to be their last year.
Last year in their stadium, right.
Where was it crazy. Supposed to be this year then?
Well,
who got bumped?
Was
it Vegas?
It could have been Vegas, but
somebody got bumped.
Somebody got bumped, but of course they couldn't have it last year because the construction wasn't done yet. So yeah, they had to end up having to stay. But you know, things worked out well because the Bucs ended up winning and becoming the first. So even if the Rams are able to win, get to 56 this year, they beat the Niners this weekend and they host whoever wins between KC and the Bengals, the Bucs will at least have been the first team to win a home Super Bowl. They may not be the only team for much longer, but they're the first.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here in 13th and Central, right across from the Trop, and conversation with Ray Kennedy. We had a nice talk, Michael Jones talking on the tee and golf. We're going to launch that production on February 17th. It was great to have the Boca Ciega kids baseball team. You grew up here. Did you play baseball?
Yes, I did, but I played for Beach Cafe. We were the county champions out at Madeira Beach. We played out of Madeira Beach, but then I got to high school and it was football. It was always football for me. Then I tried some wrestling and basketball. I couldn't lay a ball to save my soul.
Well, I tell you a thing about baseball that I've been sharing. I can't believe they start baseball. You know, Michael and I and this whole gang that are down to visit, we're all from Iowa. If you see lights on at a complex, that's a skating rink this time of year up north. Not a softball or a baseball field by any stretch of the imagination. And even the kids at the peewee level start playing baseball. I know my girlfriend's grandkids.
Right.
They're going to be playing baseball.
And I
love it. This should be the assistant coach had said from Bogey that. From a Division II perspective, Eckert and then Tampa across the bay are two powerhouses. Well, they should be.
Yes.
89 MLB players have come out of Tampa. 89.
It's a
Tampa
pretty
area, but that's impressive. So I digress. Let's stay on point here as far as your perception of the 11 free agents that we have to get signed at the Bucks after this Rams loss.
Right.
What's Brady going to do? And where is Todd Bowles going to end up? Leftwich, Jacksonville.
Yes.
I think that's a done deal.
Now,
so those are some
about
of the questions that Ray Kennedy, Bucks Report, should be able to give me a little insight.
They're saying that John Spytek, of course, he's a president of player personnel for the Bucks. He has an interview for the GM position with the Raiders, and some speculate that there's a possibility that Todd Bowles could follow him out to Oakland, or Los Angeles, Vegas now, and be a Raiders head coach.
You mean L.A.?
I'm just kidding.
It's Vegas, L.A., Oakland.
I've been doing my daily reports. I've Oakland, L.A., back. What the hell? Okay, Las Vegas Raiders. I got it down.
Las Vegas. And so, you know, and then for the Buccaneers, so there's a lot of transition we're talking about. Is Tom Brady back? Does Gronkowski go if Tom's not back? And then if our coaches aren't here, Bruce Arians already said that if Byron Leftwich gets hired by Jacksonville, then he will be calling the plays in 2022. I think
Arians will be calling the plays.
He said that he would be calling them, and I think that he's talking to Tom Brady with a wink because I think he doesn't want Tom to worry about the Bucks try to bring in another
new offensive coordinator.
Right? You know, we already know. Let's be honest, the greatest of all time. It took Tom till week 12 of last season to get this offense down. But I trust Tom over any other OC. I'd still like eyes up in the box to tell me what the defense's the tendencies of defenses are.
Well, that, of course, that would take place.
But yeah. So, you know, it's a lot up in the air. So, Buccaneer fans, I think I'm always an optimist. I think it's good reasons to get excited because, you know.
Ronald Jones gone? Is he gone?
Yeah, Rojo's gone. Yeah. Well, unless for some reason he just loves it here. You know, they draft him second round out of USC. Phenomenal runner between the tackles, but
can't block with the lick.
And that's if you're going to be running in this offense, because it wasn't Bruce Arians wasn't the coach when he came in here and when he was drafted, and this offense requires a blocking running back
without a shadow of a doubt. And playoff Lenny, he proved it again.
He did.
He's invaluable, man. And he wasn't 100%.
It's not going to be cheap to keep him this time.
We keep him.
I think the Bucks like Keyshawn Vaughn. I think Le'Veon, who's not even on the team anymore, I think that...
Le'Veon, they didn't even use him. I don't know why he was even on the roster.
Here's the thing. Where's Lenny Fournette's headspace? Do you think you're... And the kid's talented, and Lord knows the last year he's shown he can catch the ball in the backfield, but do you think you belong to be getting Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey Jr. money? Bucks don't need you, because even though we want a blocking back, we don't need that. But if he's looking for a 3-6 or an incentive-laden contract, I'd still love to see him back in the backfield here, because whoever's under center next year, the good start in the backfield would be to have Leonard Fournette.
Well, and we can talk an entire show on this, the devaluation of the running back in the NFL. And it's sad for how hard those guys work, but the devaluation of the running back, that's just the state of the game.
It's the narrative.
Yeah.
Because you get a running back like Pollard in Dallas, and of course Ezekiel Elliott, who looked great coming into this season, but Zeke has a little injury. Pollard's running lights out, and everybody wants to see Pollard. It's almost like it used to be who's the most popular player on a football team?
The running back.
Well, and it seems like now it's the backup running back. So you're always wondering, well, that guy's got to have a reason.
And most NFL teams now, even though we focus on the pass, need a two-headed monster because of the injuries, and and that's one of the things I heard. My Packers, another excuse. Dylan went down early, and that was a two-headed monster, of course, for the Green Bay Packers. All right, so we've got 11. You see, O.J. Howard, he's gone.
What an athlete
that never ever came into his talent.
He was such a monster at Alabama. He was a down-the-seam receiver with a great rock blocking because, you know, that was what they were going to acquire of. Nick Saban, one of his tight ends there. Bucks have more tape on him than anybody, and the kid's got to want to play again. So as the Bucks are looking to possibly draft another quarterback or maybe get a running back because we keep Fournette, but we're looking in the second round. Of course, we have JPP and Dominican Sue. There's a lot of question marks on the defensive side. It depends. Are the Bucks going to be able to find the tight end out there or be able to fortify? Because we don't have too much depth at the tight end position, especially if Gronkowski decides to go, if Tom does go.
Well, if Tom doesn't come back, Gronk's not coming back.
So now we've got to really fill that tight end position. Now, OJ might just be the cat who's got the 2 years in the biscuit, no risk it, no biscuit system. So suddenly, but he's not going to earn any firecracker contract. He's not going to learn any Kyle Pitts money.
He'd have to step up, obviously. The most impressed I've ever been of OJ Howard.
Yes.
Last year, Ray's game.
That's that foul ball.
Did you see it?
He left it. He one-handed at that boy.
And there was a screamer.
You know, and I said at the time, I saw that, and I went live that week, and I said, we've now got video of the best catch in O.J. Howard's career here in Tampa Bay.
His paw up about 13 feet in the air, and it was a rocket down first base.
Yeah, that was a joke at Bucks Report. I was making jokes for a few weeks.
He's
on
got
that.
A cold beer in his hand. Boom.
Yeah, it doesn't even
very just, impressive.
It's impressive almost as the father who's got like maybe a beer and a 2-year-old, and he just catches it like yeah. Oh, well,
that'd be more impressive. Holding your pup.
OJ's a professional.
Hold your
tight
pup
end,
and then
so.
and then with a grab. Okay, so who else you think is going to be a struggle to maintain? The fan base is going to say, why are we letting him go?
Here's the thing. As much as I love Donovan Smith at left tackle, if if Tom's back, one of the things I can't put words in anyone's mouth. I have no, you know, anything to tell me this is the honest to God's truth. But because of the way we saw with Tristan Wirfs' injury in that game last week, and the way the Rams were able
decimated
to
us,
they went over Donovan Smith like he was a swinging door. And so part of me thinks that maybe I thought that the Bucs would be talking to Tom the next day, saying, "Look, you know, we can move Tristan around here, we can do this, but possibly more depth, if not another starting piece on an offensive line." Because if you got a team like this that's really ready to go, you know, Devin White, Levante David, a secondary that's really starting to come into their own.
Really solid.
You can't let one offensive line. And, of course, Tristan Wirfs becomes the first Buccaneers offensive lineman to become an All-Pro.
University of Iowa Hawkeye. State champ in track and field and wrestling. I can't brag enough about that kid.
We just never thought that, one, he'd injure the ankle so late in the season, but, two, that losing that one piece, which it's not surprising because he's so phenomenal, but losing that one piece would put Tom Brady on his backside so much last week and basically take the Bucs out of their game.
Well, and that front four isn't chump change for the Rams either.
No, they're not. And I'm not saying the Rams have a good defensive line. The Saints seem to have our number with Cam Hayward and Davenport. There are teams that the teams that are winning the matchups against the Bucs seems to be the teams that have those defensive. And we play the Rams again in 2022, so we're going to see it again. So we got to build for it.
He's Ray Kennedy, and now I'm going to put him on the spot. Pretty easy to say our conversation here. Chiefs, Rams in the Super Bowl. Come on, don't hesitate. You know,
if my mortgage was riding on it, I have to go that way because the Chiefs in 7.5, I like
not
that.
Who you want.
But I think back to 83. I think back to Icky Woods and Broomer Esiason and
Icky
Sam
Woods,
Weiss.
The Icky Shuffle.
And you know,
Icky's put on about 1,000 pounds. Did you see him?
But here's the thing, Mike. Let me tell you what. I've said this to someone this week. We all remember the Icky Shuffle. Maybe half of us don't.
Kenny does it. Every time Kenny gets a few cocktails in him, he does the Icky Shuffle.
And what if the Bengals, what if this week in KC, Joe Mixon, the running back for the Bengals, scores
from
a
Oklahoma
touchdown.
He's a stud.
He's a stud. And what if he did the Icky Shuffle? You'd have it'd go viral. So the romantic inside of me, of course, I'm a Bucs fan, so I always rely on
Well,
romantic.
I love the Joe Burrow story. I'm just talking reality.
And I'm talking
Chiefs in a runaway.
It's the Chiefs. Yeah, it's the
and
Chiefs.
And a runaway.
And the Niners.
Rams.
I'm kidding.
And the Niners. How many beers have you had? So the Rams. The Rams.
Rams and the Chiefs. No, that's your Super Bowl.
And I think the Rams cover. Okay, well, then I'm going to get an early Super Bowl prediction. We got 2 minutes here. Who's the winner?
I think Stafford. I think McVay. I think that, you know, Aaron Donald gets his Super Bowl. Sometimes we saw with the Buccaneers in 2020. Sometimes you have the best teams with the best talent, but then that narrative, that story, that, you know, the media loves it, and the players feel it. They know what the media loves and what the world wants.
I don't know who this conspiracy theory guy was that I saw on CBS Sports today, but he said, he's a handicapper. He says, you know what the bottom line is? The NFL gets what the NFL wants, and the NFL wants the Rams in the Super Bowl.
They went. That's a.
That scares a guy hearing that. That's bull BS.
That's a $5 billion Hollywood park. It's
I know,
a huge
but
huge stadium.
I don't care.
Yes.
This is what the NFL wants. That makes you wonder, right?
Well, you know, and the thing is that
statement to make.
It was because I made a stupid.
Especially when you're in bed with DraftKings and.
Yeah.
And,
did you hear about the thing in Florida? I know we're wrapping up here, but basically that an initiative not going to get on the November ballot. They were trying to put it on where there'd be legalized sportsbook gambling around the state of Florida. They needed 700 or 750,000 signatures, and
it's like the marijuana issue.
Yes.
It's cash. It's revenue for your state, you boobs.
They call it for. Well, they said in this case it was DraftKings, and the other one were putting $50 million into it, and I'm all for it. But I just say make sure before we get to it that we lock up where the funds are going.
All right, I agree with you 1,000%. For Mike Miller and the Boca Ciega Pirates, Michael Jones, Ray Kennedy, Joe Burdow, and Big Ed on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous
WTAM,
week. God bless you. God bless America. And have
WDCF,
a championship
Big City.
Week.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.